Good morning, and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mock, Surgeon of Sound, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join the conversation, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Karen Oberhauser with UW-Madison's Entomology Department set to join us coming up at 11:33 so we can talk about monarch butterflies. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas. So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. So that's coming up at 11:33. Stick around for that. I did want to start off this hour with a little walk down memory lane, Greg Mock.
You love walks down memory lane.
I do, only because I know for myself how quickly I forget things. Seriously, I can't tell you what I had for dinner 3 days ago. I don't think that's
chili.
No, it wasn't. But I don't think that's unusual. I think we just tend to forget. And there's so much going on in the news that there's not enough room to retain all that stuff.
It doesn't help that there's a whole pharmacological community coming at us saying, are you having trouble remembering things? And anything you don't remember, you're like, oh no,
I gotta take something.
I'm dying.
So just as a reminder, and this is from yesterday. So this would have been March 31st. Of 2020.
Okay.
March 31st of 2020, at that point, there were over 857,000 COVID cases around the world. The U.S. on March 31st of 2020 had the most confirmed cases globally at more than 185,200. More than 3,800 people had died in the U.S. by March 31st of 2020.
We had just closed our business.
Really?
The comedy club. Yep. I mean, like that. These days ring true for me right now. So when you talk about this, I go directly back to where I was at. So this walk down memory lane is very personal.
And And again, it's a reminder of what was going on in our country as thousands of people were getting sick and then ultimately dying on a daily basis. The reason I bring this up is because on that date 4 years ago, March 31st of 2020, the then President Donald Trump went on TV, because remember, they were having daily updates on COVID in the country. So this was one of the daily updates from March 31st of 2020 from then President Donald Trump.
In the meantime, I'm sure people are enjoying it. Now I will say this, it's an incredibly dark topic, an incredibly horrible topic, and it's incredibly interesting. That's why everybody they're going crazy. They can't get enough of it, and they want to be.
He was talking about his ratings. He was talking about the ratings for his press conferences about the state of COVID in the United States, and he was delighted because the ratings were so high. Didn't mention anything about the fact that the U.S. had the most confirmed cases at more than 185,000, or that 3,800 people had died by that point. And I didn't pull this clip, but on March 30th of 2020, during that COVID press conference, the then president essentially implied that nurses and doctors and other hospital workers were stealing PPE. Because they were going through a record number of masks and all of these things, because so many people were getting sick. And he essentially implied that the PPE was being stolen by people who worked at New York hospitals, and said, yeah, it seems like it's walking out the back door. You reporters should be looking at that. You should be looking at all the thefts going on of PPE.
Well, once again, why do you want to vote for him?
What were the accomplishments that were so marked? Because he didn't repeal and replace Obamacare with something better. There was never an infrastructure bill. The wall never got built. Mexico never paid a dime for it. Our foreign relations were not in good shape. So I fail to see all of the successes that happened under the Trump administration, especially when we look at that last year.
Yeah.
And the irresponsible way that the global pandemic was handled by that administration. And we didn't find out until much later when the Bob Woodward book came out that Donald Trump admitted it to intentionally playing down the COVID pandemic. Did that intentionally. Which, again, you can say, well, he didn't want to scare people. Well, people were scared.
No, we were terrified. And when those kinds of things happen, you look to a leader. I'll give you a great example. On September 11th, 2001, a president I didn't vote for went on television and made the country feel a little bit safer. Did you agree with what he did? No. Did you agree with his policies? Probably not. But there is a time where people talk about it, and regardless of whether you voted for him or not, people admit that like a week or two after September 11th, from just trying to make sure we're okay to saying that Muslims are not our enemies, he tried his best to make this country feel a little safer and a little happier. He did his darndest, and I will never not appreciate him for that. That is what a commander-in-chief is supposed to do, not what Donald Trump did. So once again, as Jane put forth, what did he do that made you vote for him? And he's got your vote again. How does he make you feel so gosh darn star-spangling amazing? Because I do not get it. And I could crack jokes, and I can talk about the same thing over and over again, but it just comes down to the fact that I do not understand why.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Andrew from Maine texting in, the Tax Cut Act, especially in how much it reduced the national debt by businessman standards, which means broke is good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And the wealthiest in corporations got a great big tax cut kiss.
Mm-hmm.
that Paul Ryan was so excited about.
I like that. Hey, tax cut. What?
It was.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is like this. Yeah. It's so frustrating because once again, these individuals who are calling us, and God, I'm not kidding you. I have so much respect for you for calling us and talking to us and having a conversation, but these policies do not help you. This man does not care about you. Does Joe Biden care about every American? I don't know. There's a case to be made that he does, but I don't fool myself into thinking that he goes to bed at night thinking about me. I can guarantee you that Donald Trump does not care about anyone but him, and that includes his children.
Well, and I think it's important that folks just remember where we were 4 years ago.
Yes.
Remember what we were being told 4 years ago and how it was being downplayed while we all saw it with our own eyes.
Yeah.
People were, I mean, millions of people lost their jobs.
Yep.
The global economy crashed.
In this country alone, hundreds of thousands of people lost their life.
Oh, yes.
Wisconsin alone.
We lost a million people.
Wisconsin alone lost, I know, over 5,000 people. And I can tell you where I was 4 years ago today. I was in bed, scared, depressed, and probably drinking. It wasn't a good time. And the president did not make it better by promises of the spring and the warmth will cure you. Let's shoot some light into our bodies. I mean, it is just a clown show from start to finish. And some people use it as their reason.
Well, and I remember very clearly where I was at that time, too. And the number of stories that I did, I interviewed veterinarians. I interviewed poison control experts.
Yeah.
Because of some of the disinformation in injecting bleach.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like a great plan. No. And no, don't take horse medicine. No. It was surreal, the amount of stories that I did trying to prevent people from harming themselves because of the erroneous information that was coming out of the White House.
And you did that with the intention of trying to help people. Yes. And I can only imagine the amount of people who got in touch with you and said, you are lying and you are doing wrong by society and you don't know, you're not a doctor. And there's an old joke about Windex not having to put anything about don't shoot in your eyes until someone looked at their contacts and said, these are windows. I'll put Windex in my contacts. So that's why it says don't shoot in your eyes. I am going to go home today and find a bottle of bleach. And if it actually says do not inject in two veins, does not cure COVID. You know what I mean? Like, because the president said it, they had to put it on a label now.
You can look it up. I'm serious. The number of calls to poison control centers skyrocketed during that period.
Shocking.
I know. At least people had the sense to call and ask, should I inject bleach? That would be no.
Yeah.
That would kind of be a hard no.
Hard no, people.
Hard no.
Hard pass.
Go back and look at some of the press conferences that he held. Go back and look at the press conference where he talked about injecting light into the body and watch Dr. Deborah Birx's face.
Oh, my God.
As she is crumbling as he's disseminating this medical information.
Go back and watch interviews with people who are sitting in hospital beds hooked up to ventilators who say simply, I was wrong.
Now I'd like the vaccine, please.
Yep. Sorry.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. When we return, what is the definition of doing the same thing over and over and over again with the same results?
That's called insanity.
That's next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just
Kelby coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join the conversation 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is ruining. They're just not going to give up, are they, Greg Bach?
They're not going to give up, indeed.
There is going to be a second recall attempt against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, driven by the same people who appear to have fallen short in their first effort to remove Robin Voss.
Yeah, but it hasn't been officially said that, though. Like, the official word that the first recall effort has failed isn't totally finished yet, even though they know that they're probably, but they're like, you know what? It's fine. Let's do it again.
Burlington resident Matthew Snorek filing paperwork with the Wisconsin Elections Commission last week, saying that Voss should be recalled for his tacit support of the Chinese Communist Party, a lack of election integrity, and flagrant disrespect for his own constituents by calling them whack jobs, morons, and idiots.
Yep.
Those insults were directed at Mr. Snorek and the others behind their first recall attempt, which began in January.
I'm going to say the same thing I said the first and second time we talked about this, is the fact that if you just wait, there's a whole election coming that you don't have to get, like, you gather signatures for your person, but you're really doing the unnecessary work. You are like banging your head into the wall, and you kind of look ridiculous while doing it.
Snorek did deliver around 11,000 signatures to the Elections Commission on March 12th and the first recall, but an initial review found there weren't enough valid signatures from people who actually lived in the 63rd Assembly District, which is kind of important. You kind of have to live in the district where you're trying to recall someone.
What?
Those picky, picky details.
You know what, Jane?
Those little things.
I'm tired of you sticking to these details and these laws that we have to follow.
Signed petitions for the new recall effort would be due no later than May 28th. This is according to an article from Rich Creamer in WPR. So we'll see. Who is paying for this?
Pillow Guy?
No, Pillow Guy's got no more money.
Yeah.
Pillow Guy got kicked out of his out of his warehouse in Minnesota.
Are you serious? See, I've been okay. So,
yep.
Not to be off on a tangent or to divert a little bit, but that's what I've always been wondering: is that this guy? I know his product still sells, but he has spent so much money.
Yes.
Some would say maybe all of his money on this effort to 4 years later, nearly 4 years later, to this evidence he says he's had for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good heavens. He's had it since, what, January 7th.
Yeah. And I will also reiterate, if your biggest, most celebrity speaker at your rally is the MyPillow guy, I don't think you have a chance of really going where you need to go, especially against someone like Robin Voss, who, we got to say it, is politically savvy. He's been in office longer than anyone.
Got a lot of connections, I'm sure.
Yeah. So he can get out there and call them whack jobs and stupid.
It is interesting, though, because I think when Robin Voss first said that.
Yeah.
And we pointed out, you're talking to a lot of people who are Donald Trump supporters, because these are the ones who believe still that the election was stolen and there was all kinds of untoward hanky-panky going on.
I love that word, untoward.
Untoward hanky-panky. Even though there's no evidence of that, there is evidence, and this happened on Friday when I was gone. I don't know if you had a chance to talk about this. One Republican was caught voting 9 times. And he got a slap on the wrist, and I think he paid a little fine, as opposed to that woman in Georgia who genuinely, mistakenly didn't realize she could not vote and spent 5 years in prison.
Yeah. Or the Milwaukee official who, as a lesson to show someone how easy it is to
cheat,
she's going to get probably more. I mean, honestly, a fine and a slap on the wrist, I'm actually impressed with, because we have people who tried to push a fake election and fake electors and try to overthrow the 2020 presidential election. And not only does nothing happen, they get to keep doing their jobs. They get hired from other people. I mean, it's what a time to be a cheat.
Seriously.
Like, we did the wrong thing, Jane. We got in the wrong business. We should have been cheaters.
And we'd be doing so much better.
I'd be making at least $20 more an hour.
If only you had a little less integrity, Greg Bach. That's worth some money, man.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right.
Wes from Middleton texting in. Are they gathering signatures in the unconstitutional 63rd district or the new 63rd that Voss doesn't live in? Voss now resides in the 33rd. What the heck are they doing? Carmela from Milwaukee texting in, listening on WAUK. Jane and Greg, I just realized as I'm listening to you go over where we were as a country 4 years ago, I truly had PTSD from just Trump alone. It's still ongoing even after he's out of office. I need to stop, but I know it won't with his MAGA cult doing his evil, even if he loses again. Trump truly is the worst human being I've ever experienced. That's saying a lot. Because I survived childhood trauma and abuse. I'm so sorry, Carmela.
I'm sorry to hear that as well. I mean, there have been articles written about how having a president who doesn't seem to like you or like this country or have a good thing to say about anything, even in his greatest attempts to seem magnanimous and fun.
Like his Easter messages yesterday?
His Easter message or the dancing or anything, it causes stress. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to diagnose trauma, but it leaves a lasting toll when the leader of your country, I mean, people who walk out of countries that have dictatorships aren't just like, oh, that was fine. They're going to need to speak with someone. They're going to need to adjust to a world. I mean, the paranoia alone. I mean, that's one of the things that Trump supporters, there's so much paranoia. There's never a right answer unless it's coming from him. And it just, I mean, Carmela, you said it correctly. Just so powerfully. Thank you for texting.
Absolutely. You can always join us again at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. News is coming up next. After that, we're going to lighten things up a little bit and talk to Karen Oberhauser, and we're talking about monarch butterflies and what we can all do to help increase their habitat so we can continue to see them.
Those winged thingids.
Those winged thingids. That's on the way next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Butterfly all alone, but can you fly?
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show, call, text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. She has joined us before. Very happy to have her back to talk what we can do for monarch butterflies. Karen Oberhauser with UW-Madison is joining us this morning. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks, Jane. I'm doing well today.
Lovely to have you back. I wish it would be about, we can celebrate how many more the increase has been among monarch populations. We're not there yet. So we're going to keep having you back on until we're at that point. Because habitat is still a big issue for monarch butterflies and why we're seeing a decrease in their numbers, correct?
Correct. Yep. We need more habitat for them.
So what can folks do? What should we be planting? Where should we be going? Let's just start there. What people can do in their own backyards?
Yeah. And the nice thing is that we can make a difference in our own backyards. Unlike a lot of endangered species, monarchs can find your yard no matter where it is. So what you can do with your backyards or where your kids go to school or where you work or go to church or, you know, just anywhere there's lawn or possible habitat, we can put habitat in. And what we need to think about with that is the caterpillars need milkweed. So we need milkweed plants for the monarchs and whatever milkweed species are native to your area and grow well in your yard, that's what you should plant. And they need nectar plants. So they need any flowering plant that produces nectar. And the nice thing about that is those plants will be good for a whole bunch of other animals as well. So mostly it's insects that eat nectar, but a few birds do and mammals as well. But all of those insects are really important for the birds and mammals, where they're the basis of the food chain. So helping monarchs helps a lot of other species.
Karen,
so
I know you
can go anywhere.
Yeah, I know you've worked on monarchs and have studied monarchs for a really long time. Have you ever been able to go to the area where they nest in northern Mexico?
I have. I've been there many times. And when you look at the graph of monarch numbers in Mexico, there's one very high year in the winter of 1996-97. And that was the first year I went. So that year, there were almost 40 acres of land that were just covered with monarchs. That means all of the trees on 40 acres of land, not all in one place, but that 40 acres was spread over many sites. And it was an amazing thing to see. And then I was there in the year, the winter of 2012, 2013, when all of the monarchs that came from our area and a lot of other areas in the upper northern part of the United States and southern Canada was on 0.67 hectares, which is a little over an acre. So huge changes over the time that I've been studying them down in Mexico. So I've been there many times. It's an incredible phenomenon, just a really amazing aggregation of lots of animals, which is always incredible to see no matter what species we're talking about.
The videos I've seen of when the sun starts to rise, where these all these monarchs are gathered, it just looks like the tree is breathing until they all take off. It's just the most remarkable thing. And I've only watched it on video. I would imagine if I was there in person, I think I would start sobbing.
That I did the first time I went up there. I mean, partly it's such an elevation. So if we live in Wisconsin, we're not used to high elevation. So I had walked and walked for about 2 hours to get to them and got there. And at first they're not that noticeable because when their wings are shut and they're sitting in the trees, the backs of their wings are actually pretty dull in color.
Right.
So all of a sudden I looked up and realized that what sort of looked like leaves in the trees were actually millions and millions of butterflies. So it was an amazing experience. And it's, you can see videos and often the videos will have the sound, but being there in that area, there's, it's just a bombardment of the senses. It's very visual, but there's the sound and there's a smell and there's a smell of the forest and the smell of the butterflies and the wind. It's just an amazing experience for all of your senses to be there.
And is that something that's available to the public that people can go and do this 2.5 hour hike themselves and go look at, witness this themselves?
Yes. A lot of people do go. Most of the people that go are from Mexico, but people go from the United States and Europe and all over the world. I've run into people from Germany and Australia and New Zealand, South America. So yeah, people definitely can go to visit them. It's limited. You can't go, you know, right up under the trees,
sure,
because there are so many people that it would be a problem for the butterflies, but definitely it's an amazing thing to see, definitely an incredible phenomenon.
If you're just joining us, Karen Oberhauser from UW-Madison is our guest, and we're talking about monarch butterflies and why they're so important and what we can do to help increase their habitat, because that's really the big problem with the monarch numbers. And we were talking about milkweed, which I have had. And they do love it, Karen. It's just one of the most annoying plants. Milkweed is really stubborn.
Yeah, there's a reason that it's called a weed, that it's been given that name. But really, if in your yard, I would recommend not using common milkweed unless you have a really big garden. So the most common species of milkweed is common milkweed, and that's the one that most monarchs will have eaten, the ones that go to Mexico. But if you want species that are a little more well-behaved in your garden, that one will spread out into your lawn,
yep,
and pretty much take over. There are other species. There's one called swamp milkweed, which isn't a very beautiful name, but it's actually a beautiful plant, Asclepias incarnata. And that one just stays where you put it. It doesn't spread around by roots like the common milkweed does. It will spread by seeds, but that's okay. And then another one that's very beautiful is butterfly weed, Asclepias tuberosa. And that has beautiful orange flowers that you can put where you want it and it's going to stay right there. So those three species, common milkweed, swamp milkweed, and butterfly weed, are probably the most common ones that people put in their garden. But there are a lot of other species as well. We have 12 species in Wisconsin. And I recommend, if people are interested, there's a group called the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative, which has a really great handout on all of the species of milkweed that are native to Wisconsin. I can give you a link to that you could share with your listeners.
That would be great.
Your eyes just lit up.
I love this stuff.
I know you do.
You know how excited I get.
We got a text from Mark from the Sack saying, one of my many monarchs I released last year from my neighbor who raised them with much of the milkweed harvested from my small backyard. One resource is Monarch Butterfly Life to buy rearing materials. He sent a picture of the monarch butterfly, and it is just gorgeous.
I have friends who've done that, too, who have, they've got the milkweed in the yard. And as you said, Karen, I had no idea there were 12 different varieties because I have the common milkweed, and you're right. That will show up 14 feet away from in the middle of the lawn. It's like, how did you get here, you little stinker?
They spread really well.
They do.
You know, I just wanted to say something about rearing. So if people want to help monarchs, I mean, definitely rearing is a great thing to do if you want to learn about monarchs and, you know, get connected. I raise 10 or 20 monarchs every summer. I report the outcome of the rearing, if they survive, to a citizen science project so we can learn more about them. But really, if people want to help monarchs, what they should do is create habitat, because that's the limiting factor. And what I like to kind of, the way that I like to talk about monarch conservation is to think about the habitat and not necessarily the individual butterflies, because they're going to find the habitat. And if we raise a whole bunch of monarchs and don't have good habitat to release them into, it really won't make any difference. So I don't condemn all monarch raising, because I do it and it's a wonderful way to learn about them. But just want to put that little cautionary note that raising hundreds and hundreds isn't really going to make a difference. And it takes a lot of time to raise that many monarchs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make an excellent point. You know, it's all well and good and very well intentioned, I'm sure. But if we release an extra 1,000 monarchs into the world and they have nothing to eat, that's not going to get us anywhere ultimately, right? That's kind of what you're saying.
Exactly.
We got some texts on this too.
Excellent.
From the 262, this individual said, I tried to plant butterfly weed and it turned out to be pigweed. No flowers and tall, very tall, difficult to get out of plants.
Wow, that's interesting. I wonder if this person, I guess we can't ask them, but right. It sounds like they did not plant butterfly weed.
Yeah.
There is something called butterfly vine,
yeah,
which is a whole different species of plant, Buddleia. It's a completely different genus. So it's possible that they got that. But butterfly weed, it should be, the scientific name is Asclepias tuberosa. And that one, that one will have flowers and it won't grow tall. So
yeah.
I think,
I've never heard of pigweed before.
No, I haven't either.
I know.
Oh, they responded, but they said the package showed orange flowers, but it was really definitely the wrong seeds.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's disappointing.
That's awful.
That's terrible.
Well, and I'm very encouraged though, Karen, by you mentioning that there are 12 different species of milkweed, and you can get ones that are not so invasive.
Yeah.
That's a really good way to go, because once it's like hummingbirds, once they learn where their food is, they will come back, right?
I'm not sure they really learn, because it's different individuals that come back the next year, but they definitely will find it. And I kind of think of monarchs when they're coming back from the south in the spring, is it's just this wave of individuals flying northward, and they'll fan out and they'll find your plants. So, and that's a really great thing. I've seen a caterpillar on a milkweed plant that was growing from a crack in a sidewalk.
The milkweed, big everywhere.
Life will find a way, and milkweed will definitely find a way.
Oh, that's funny.
Now I just, and this is going to sound like a really silly question, but when they are migrating back north, Karen, they can't be reaching a very high altitude, because butterflies are kind of like fireflies. They're kind of bad flyers.
Yeah, well, monarchs are strong flyers. I mean, they've evolved to fly well. So there are a lot of butterflies, you're right, that aren't very great flyers. But monarchs fly pretty well, and they actually will vary their altitude depending on the wind. So if there's a strong wind coming from, you know, if they have a headwind,
right,
they'll fly really close to the ground. But if they have a tailwind, they'll fly high. Hang gliders have seen them up in the air over a kilometer above the surface of the earth. So they will go really high if they need to. It's amazing. And mostly when they're migrating, they soar. They don't do powered flapping of their wings. So they use the wind currents, exactly, and they'll soar through the air. So to save energy.
Well, that makes me feel better, because I just think of them, you know, they're kind of awkward. It's like, God, it's going to take me a month to get up north. It's
folks, those forever. On the live stream, you are getting a show right now.
I apologize.
No, never stop.
I get very excited about this. Karen Oberhauser is here talking about monarch butterflies. If you have a question, Karen, could you stay for one more segment?
Sure.
If you have a question for Karen, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mark, I know you were there, and we just lost our phone line, so give us a call again. Karen will still be here. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
All dressed in white, butterfly in the air. You can fly anywhere, a sight beyond compare, a sacred song and a sacred tone. There's a butterfly flying
home. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. You can always join our conversation. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is ruining. If you have a question for Karen Oberhauser, who is our guest from the University of Madison, talking about monarch butterflies and monarch habitat and other things that we can do to help increase the monarch population. And Mark from Prairie du Sac is back. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for calling back. What do you want to say to Karen?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, my neighbor, I think she reached over 100 last year that she raised, and most of them got released in my backyard. And I have nothing but, you know, in my flower beds. I don't spray anything at all. I've got, you know, in my vegetable beds, I've got wildflowers mixed in between them, separated out. And so that they're pretty happy when they get, you know, when you let them go and they're, you know, going after the flocks or the, and I realize that that's just one stop there on their journeys, but milkweed is just great. There's all sorts of different ones. The one that I found, didn't know what it was, but it was world milkweed, which doesn't look like a milkweed at all. And the new one I just saw was polk milkweed, which looks, you know, not really like a milkweed either, but they're apparently both good butterfly food.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mark. Really appreciate that. I have never heard of that world milkweed. Is there any? And this is going to sound really mean to milkweed, but it's not a terribly attractive plant.
Well, I would argue a little bit about that. And first of all, Mark, it's really great that you have all those species, and I didn't mention those two species because that's getting a little bit into the weeds, so to speak. But world milkweed, so you're right. That one is one that often grows. You can see that in the wild and dry goat prairies in western Wisconsin. It's a small in stature plant, and its leaves look like, for those of you that don't know it, the leaves look like little like pine needles.
Oh, interesting.
But it's very, monarchs love to eat it. It's a great one. It has beautiful little white flowers. I love world milkweed, Asclepias verticillata. is the name of that one. And then Polk Milkweed is a great one to grow. That one has my favorite name of any milkweed plant. It's called Asclepias exaltata. What a wonderful scientific
name. Sounds like a coffee or a tea.
Well, I know, exaltata. So Polk Milkweed, if you have a shady yard, which I do in Madison, I have a lot of Polk Milkweed growing. It'll grow in the shade. So it's kind of a leggy, tall plant. It also has really fun white flowers like boiled milkweed. So yeah, there is a milkweed plant for your yard, no matter where you are. So that's great that you're providing good habitat in your yard and a place for those monarchs that your neighbor is rearing. Thanks for doing that, Mark.
We got a fun comment from the live stream here from Andrew from Maine. He asked, does this count as a Beyond the Cheese segment, which actually it could have, or is there a cheese milkweed to give monarchs a special touch of Wisco?
Unfortunately, we don't have a cheese milkweed. Maybe that'll be coming sometime.
We'll get working on it.
Exactly. Changes we're seeing of organisms. Maybe they'll rename swamp milkweed, although that probably shouldn't be called cheese milkweed because it's kind of purplish. But
you had mentioned, Karen, another place where people can go for more information about monarchs. Do you know the name of that website offhand?
Yeah, so a lot of great places. So the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative, if you're anywhere in Wisconsin, that has information. And then probably the best source of information on monarchs is an organization called the Monarch Joint Venture, which is a nationwide partnership of many organizations working on monarch conservation. They have a ton of resources on their website, so Monarch Joint Venture. And if anybody does venture to the Monarch Joint Venture website, I would recommend checking out all of the good citizen science opportunities so you can actually collect data about monarchs. There are many, many different programs. So, for example, Mark, who called in and has all this milkweed growing in his yard, he could look at those milkweed plants once a year and look for monarch eggs and caterpillars and report that to an organization called the Monarch Larva Monitoring Project, which we run jointly with the Monarch Joint Venture out of the Arboretum at the UW-Madison. So that is a great source of information, and I definitely encourage anyone who really wants to get more involved to join a citizen science project, and the Monarch Larva Monitoring Project is a good one.
We'll include those in our show notes when the show gets posted a little after 12:30. We have about 2.5 minutes left, Karen. Terry from Cross Plains has a question listening in Madison on WMDX. Do deer eat milkweed? We have a big deer population in our area. Terry from Cross Plains.
Yeah, that is a really great question. And if you would have asked me that 20 years ago, I would have said, no, it tastes terrible to mammals and they don't eat it. But deer will eat milkweed. Common milkweed, I've watched them doing it. Rabbits will also eat milkweed. So yeah, that is a problem. And once, if you're in an area where there's enough milkweed, the deer probably won't eat it. But the biggest problem I have in my garden is rabbits. So yeah, you just have to have a lot of it and you hope it grows fast and gets up before they find it.
You're going to have little bunnies on each other's shoulders trying to get up, to the leaves. It's always such a pleasure talking to you, Karen. Karen Oberhauser is with UW-Madison, the entomology department, and has been sharing her knowledge about monarchs and what we can do to help increase monarch habitat. We need these creatures in our world, right, Karen?
Right. Yep. They're a great addition to our world. Let's keep them.
Let's keep them. All right. Thank you, Karen, so very, very much for your time. Stay close. News is coming up next. Thank you to Greg and to Calvin. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you to everyone for texting and calling, and most of all for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you had the chance to share it. Keep it right here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.